Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Maybe tomorrow, because it's an earlier start.
Well, they're not playing tomorrow.
Well, I just said they are playing tomorrow.
They're not playing
tomorrow. There's a game seven.
There's not. Series is over tonight.
It's over
tonight.
Is that what you know?
That's what I know.
Is that what you're guaranteeing?
It's what I know. It is over.
Is that your
tonight.
Five-star lock?
Yes.
Your five-star lock.
The Atlanta Braves.
Chase McCabe is telling you, put your car note, house note, your savings account, everything
firstborn,
on the Braves
whatever.
Tonight. Firstborn.
Max Fried has not been good in the postseason. He's going to pitch a gem tonight. They're going to win.
Okay.
And I thought about this as I was coming back from Atlanta after seeing them lose. It is perfect justice to make.
Not Houston, David.
Not David, but I do love David Justice. To make Houston watch.
There we go. Guaranteed. Lock. And Chase McCabe was right. I hope all of you put your house note, your car notes, your firstborn, everything you had, your savings on the Bravos last night to win the World Series. Because they did it. They did it in pretty easy fashion. They controlled the game throughout. 7-0, the final. And Chase McCabe and millions of other fans out there, Braves fans, are still celebrating. Chase, congrats.
Thank you very much. It is a very, 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 very special day. Last night was, you know, it was funny. I was telling people because they were like, did you go somewhere? Did you watch with people? And I was like, no, I watched at home by myself. And that was probably the right move because I was all over the place. Because you're right. Like they controlled the game from the beginning, but it was still nerve-wracking. And I'm glad it moved fast because it was a lot of emotions because I was trying not to get too high early and get too excited, but it was just so awesome. They are the world champions. The Atlanta Braves are world champions.
They are. It's a pretty cool feeling. First time since 1995, right?
Yeah. And like I've said, I mean, I don't really remember 95.
No, you don't.
So, it was awesome. And I texted our Gatlinburg group. You know, had a nice toast after the game. So that was good.
Yeah, I saw your video, toasty.
Yeah, it was good.
Toasty toast.
Toasty toast for sure.
Hey, congrats. You know, that is the beauty of baseball. I think baseball and hockey, when you get to the playoffs, I think that is the fun part about it because you're just not sure how it's going to play out. I think both of them are truly wild card sports. I think the NBA has been a lot more chalk over the years than anything. The NFL, I still think in the end, is more chalk than surprise. Surprise, surprise. But baseball and hockey, man, you just got to get hot at that time. And when you get hot, we've seen just some great stories. And July 4th, when I saw the Braves take on the Marlins, that did not look like a team that was geared up to win the World Series. And, you know, but that just goes to show you it's a long, 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 long season. And then a week later, Acuna goes down for the season and you're thinking it's over.
Yeah, I mean, and I thought it. Everybody thought it. Like, how could you not?
Right.
But, it's funny, and we talked about it earlier this week. Baseball and football, I get they're different, but you know, I think a lot of Titans fans just look what happened last night and try and hold on to some hope. So, never know. That's why they play the games.
You know, think about it, guys. The last three champions, two of them had losing records way into the year. Remember, the Washington Nationals famously started off way, way below 500. I don't remember exactly the numbers, but on Memorial Day, they were buried in the standings. And the Braves, like you were talking about, Darren, they still had a losing record on August the 5th. Mm-hmm. They still had a losing record. And then here they are, the world champions.
Yeah, and I'm so happy for Freddie Freeman, you know, because he is Mr. Brave. And I don't know if you guys watched the post-game show at all last night on FS1, but he came to the desk, and of course they brought it up, you know, like, hey, you know, you're a free agent. And he pretty much said, he goes, it's a business. There's a part of that. I want to be an Atlanta Brave, and we're going to get it figured out. And so I think there's no doubt in anybody's mind that they'll get
discount.
That's what he just told the front office,
basically. but I mean, that, you know, the front office can also hand him a check and go, fill in the number. But Freddie's going to be a team guy, and they're going to sit down and talk about, okay, what else do we need to do? And then they'll get that part figured out. But he's not going anywhere. He is the new chipper, and they, you know, he's been a staple on that team. He's got one MVP. He's got one World Series championship, just like Chipper. He's not going anywhere.
So let me ask you guys this, and none of us know the answer, but you can form an opinion. That's what we do on this show. You know, Ronald Acuña is off the charts, you know, crazy good, right? He's just an unbelievable talent. We all know that. Fun guy to watch. He's a guy that people buy tickets to see. But he's also had his, you know, his lumps and his fair share of hiccups along the way, being a young guy and, you know, signing that big contract at the time. And I wonder if, you know, whatever he had going on is, because, you know, it's pretty easy to, when you're talented as him and you get a $100 million contract as young in life as he did, even though we said it from the get-go, it's going to be a steal of a contract for the Braves, an absolute steal, and it already is. But, you know, I'm the shizzle, I'm the man, I'm great, and there's been, you know, there's been a learning curve. I wonder, sitting and watching this team do it without him, I wonder if that changes his approach at all moving forward.
I don't know. I think there's going to be a natural maturation for Ronald Acuña. But I do think it, you know, it's probably a little bit humbling. I was trying to think, guys, has there ever been a team that's won a championship without a player of his caliber? I would put Ronald Acuña probably, when you consider his defense, his all-around offense, I would put him in the top 10 or 15 players in the game, conservatively, right?
No,
some people might argue,
it's top 10.
Might argue higher.
It's
maybe,
top 10.
Maybe, yeah. So tell me a team that's won a title losing a guy like that. That is a rare, rare thing. I'd have to really rack my brain. I can't think of very many.
It's a really
I can't
good
think
question.
Of any off the top of my head.
I mean, like, the best player on the team goes down and they still win it all. Hmm.
Obviously, the Nationals, crazy run a couple years ago. Rendon played out of his mind. He was available. They still had Trey Smith. They still had Scherzer, so no.
Didn't somebody get hurt on that Nationals team? Am I thinking about that wrong?
Maybe, but
I
mean,
think that, but not Acuña level. Yeah, I think they lost it, but I don't think it was Acuña level.
I mean, they won it after Bryce Harper left, but that's not the same thing,
right,
as losing your star player to injury. I'm trying to think.
I feel like there might
I'm
be.
I'm sure
NBA,
it's happened a few times.
Like maybe
the 1990 New York Giants count. In football, Phil Simms going down, Jeff Hostetler wins the Super Bowl.
I mean,
that's possible. Because Phil Simms, I think, yeah, he was there, but I don't know if Phil Simms would be Ronald Acuña. You know, he was an
fair,
excellent starting quarterback.
The position.
I think Joe Morris, their top running back, got hurt that year too, if I remember correctly, and Otis Anderson – came in and became the featured running back.
We could start naming examples.
Nothing like Acuna.
They're not going to be Acuna. Like, I mean, you could say, you could make a case that Carson Wentz, at the time, right, he's having an off-the-charts
season. He's having an MVP-like season.
And Nick Foles comes in and wins the Super Bowl. At the time, you could use that example. But, you know, now that we've all watched Carson Wentz, like, nobody's going to compare Carson Wentz to Acuna. I mean, right?
It's, no, but at the,
that
at the time.
That season, he was having an MVP-like season.
That's in the ballpark.
Yeah, because, I mean, he was – I mean, I think he could have won the MVP that year if everything
– Well, I mean, who knows? I mean, there was still a ways to go. I don't know if he wins it or he doesn't. He was having an incredible year. But, I mean, the point is these examples are few and far between.
Right.
They are. They just are. And – I don't know. I don't know if there is truly a comparison. I don't know if we could find an apples-to-apples comparison. Losing someone of that magnitude midway through the season and playing out the rest of the season with a losing record, still punching your ticket into the playoffs, still winning a division, and then going on and winning the World Series. I don't know. Is that example about to take place in this market? Could we possibly be having this discussion in
mid-February?
Well,
that's kind of why I brought it up, because that's sort of what the hope is.
Is there a hockey example?
Well, Stamkos, of course, pretty much didn't play the first of the two cup runs. Remember, he came in and had that one great goal, and that was pretty much the only time he played
Letang
in the playoffs.
Letang didn't play the year that they beat the Predators. Letang didn't play the whole postseason. Basically.
Yeah, those are important guys. I still would put Acuna ahead of those guys.
Yeah, agreed. They're just not Acuna. It's just like
But
I
hockey
said,
hockey might have some of those. There might be a few of those in hockey.
Well, if you think of examples, text us at 615-737-1055.
But it's one thing to finish a run, you know, but it's another thing to lose your guy in July. That's when it happened to Acuna. Right, so they had to go for months,
and they were below 500.
Yes, it's just the perfect storm, and they deserve all the credit in the world for the trades that they made. And fortunately for them, they had time to decide to make the trades, and not just, you know, if it was past the deadline, then there wouldn't have been anything they could do, pretty much. But you know, they had time to sort it out, and they hit all the right notes.
I'll say this, you know. Brian Snicker deserves a ton of credit for being with the organization for 40-something years, finally wins the World Series. But Alex Anthopoulos, when they hired him to be the general manager after, you know, all the, you know, Frank Wren, and then after that and all the stuff, and for him to, like you said, not sell off and make some very modest trades, he deserves, like, just a ton of credit. Because that was a tremendous job of building a team.
It certainly was. We'll come back. Our weekly chat on Wednesdays at this time with Paul Feinbaum. We'll talk with Paul. We'll do that next here on the DDC, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Every day at 2 o'clock, you hear this music, it's time for the Paul Feinbaum Show. You can listen to it on 94.9. By the way, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Back here on Darren, Donnie, and Chase, our show is presented by Creation CBD products, curated for life. And yes, it is time for our weekly chat with Paul Feinbaum, brought to you by MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. Good morning, Paul. The first rankings came out. I will just tell you, as we talked about it yesterday on the show, I have no issues with what they did. I'm saying that because typically we always have issues. I didn't have any. Did you?
I really didn't. And quite frankly, I was pleased to see them rank Cincinnati where they did. Because,
me too.
Let's be honest. Yep. Cincinnati hasn't played anyone. And, you know, I'm just getting tired of all the political correctness out there. The hand-wringing and the crying, oh, they deserve a chance. Well, they played a good schedule and the best they could come up with, and right now it doesn't look like it's going to be enough. And you know, one or two other things that stand out. I mean, Oklahoma at 8 doesn't mean anything. They can play their way back in. And other than that, the one thing that I thought by putting Alabama at number 2 is – They gave Alabama maybe a sliver of a chance to still get in if they lost a heartbreaker 34-33 game against Georgia. I don't think that's likely, but putting them two, I think, was indicative. And quite frankly, tell me a team better than other than Georgia. Who is better than Alabama right now?
Yeah, nope. I completely agree with everything you said. Cincinnati absolutely deserves to be out of the top four. I've watched them the last 2 weeks against two garbage teams, and they barely won. Yeah, they've got one nice win in South Bend, and I'm not going to take away from them. But if you're asking me to believe that they're truly a top four team, I just don't buy it. And I would have thought if I had to come up with something, I was a little surprised with Oklahoma being that far down. With the quarterback switch, it looks like maybe they've righted the ship some. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, the one thing I'll say about this committee, there are, I think, six or seven new people on it, so you can't use precedent. I mean, this is not a Supreme Court case. And, you know, I've been cynical of them for a long time, but I really think they have mostly gotten the final poll right. And, guys, that's all that matters. I mean, this is – you know, I work at ESPN, so I we're not supposed to, you know, to pop off. But you know, Tuesday night's a TV show. It's essentially basically saying nobody else matters in college football if you're not in this conversation. You know, don't bring up Kentucky. Don't give me Ole Miss. Here's where we are the last 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah, I saw them have some fun with you on Jim Harbaugh yesterday, and wow. Gag City. And I know it's a rivalry game and crazy things have happened in that, but I mean, the narrative just continues on Jim Harbaugh against Michigan State and Ohio State. I mean, I don't know if he can't beat Ohio State again this year. Like, are they just going to keep, you know, signing up for this hamster wheel year in and year out?
I think they are. So right now he has two big games left at Penn State and home against Ohio State. Let's say he beat Penn State, which would be a significant win, and loses to Ohio State. I don't think anything changes, because I've talked to so many Michigan fans who really are okay. It's almost like in the age of Nick Saban and the SEC, you don't expect to beat him. If you do, it's breaking news. But if you lose to him, well, okay, it's not going to cost you your job. And I think with Harbaugh, you know, they really don't have a second plan. I think they've looked around and seen what's happened at Nebraska. They've looked at other places and are saying, you know what? If we're 9-3, 10-2, we're relevant. Let's stay the course. I think it's ridiculous, but then again, I'm in the business of thinking Michigan should be playing for titles, not for second place.
Well, why do you think that is, Paul? Because you're right. I mean, that's a program that year in and year out they should be. So why do you think that they seem to be just complacent with where they are, in your opinion?
I think they've had so many bad coaches, Brady Hoke, Rich Rodriguez, just to name two, that they like the fact that he's one of theirs. They know that Michigan's won, what, 1.5 national championships in 60 years, and you know, the program's running along pretty well. It's a very successful entity. And I don't think they're just, you know, they've taken a good long look and go, you know, he's a Michigan man, whatever that means, okay? And I think they're settling. And I think maybe a little bit of the fire Jim Harbaugh mentality out there, which I must admit I'm part of, has maybe helped him a little bit. I know I'm going reverse psychology, but they, you know, Michigan people are very different. I don't mean that in a like, you know, they belong in a commune somewhere, but they really value the university a great deal, as well as the athletic department, where it's not just about football. And listen, that's great. Okay, I'm all for great universities and academic integrity. But when you're paid $6 million a year to coach football, you should beat your rival maybe once every 10 years.
Yeah, I think that's more than fair. What is it? I mean, yes, he's a weird cat, but the guy can coach. I mean, we've seen his track record. The guy can coach. What do you think it is? Like, why do you think there's this mental hurdle of Michigan State and it's not like nothing against Michigan State, but it's not like they're competing year in and year out for the college, for the national championship. At least Ohio State, you could say that. And then Ohio State, he hasn't even beaten them at all. Michigan State, at least he's logged three wins now. But what do you think it is that he can't beat them year in and year out, or in Ohio State's case, can't beat them at all?
No, I think the Ohio State situation is interesting because, yeah, I mean, this is a great era of Ohio State football, but you know, they're on the second coach, and he can't beat Ryan Day, nor can he beat Urban Meyer. However, I think the problem is Michigan State. I mean, he's losing to them with regularity, and I'll tell you what, I don't think it's going to happen, but if somehow Michigan State ends up in the playoffs for the second time, what's in 6 years where Harbaugh still hasn't gotten it, I think that might hurt him more than anything.
We're talking to Paul Feinbaum of the SEC Network and ESPN. And so this weekend, how much could Auburn, so to speak, hurt Alabama with a win over Texas A&M, with that being the only loss that Alabama has?
It would hurt some, but you know what's interesting, not to throw things up against the wall, but if Auburn wins this game Saturday, suddenly you have to start thinking, can they beat Alabama? And if they beat Alabama, can they beat Georgia? I know I'm throwing quite a big net out there, but Auburn still has an inside straight at getting to the title, getting to the playoffs. I don't think it's going to happen. It's highly unlikely, but I'm just saying that it is at least in the realm of possibility. I really do think Alabama, though, they have a shot at getting in with the loss, but that would hurt them. But they are probably going to have to beat Georgia in the SEC game.
Has Auburn surprised you maybe more than anyone in the SEC this year with coaching change and the fact that they only have two losses so far?
They have right now, and I'm hesitant to. Yeah, they beat Arkansas on the road, which surprised me. But I think we all invested too much in Arkansas, and certainly the LSU win that means virtually nothing right now. And Ole Miss may somewhat fade in the distance, but I mean Auburn could still go 7-5. I'm not trying to be a contrarian. But if they lose to A&M, they have Mississippi State on the road and then Alabama. It's entirely possible they can lose all those games. But I just didn't think they had the players. And Brian Harsin is quirky, but I think he's a very fundamentally sound football coach.
So what team not named Ohio State that's not in the top four, so basically 5 through 10, do you still keep your eye on that could potentially work their way up into that top four?
Yeah, we discussed Oklahoma, and I think that's it.
That's it?
I don't really I don't think Michigan State can do it. I mean, I'd still like Ohio State to win the Big Ten. I don't see a second team getting in. And Oregon made a nice return yesterday, but I think that was payback for the Ohio State win. You can say, hey, what about Wake Forest? And I'm going to say, what about them? They're not going to finish undefeated. I mean, it would be really amazing if they did, but I'm not counting on it. So I think we are starting to see some separation. I think we know that Georgia's in there. Is Alabama in there? Oregon, Ohio State, one of those two. Oklahoma, I still think has a really good path. So I it's going to probably end up just like it always does.
So I had some fun with this one yesterday, but how much are you looking forward to the Hugh Freeze tribute video in Oxford and the halftime ceremony? Maybe they'll hand him a cell phone, something like that. what are you expecting there?
It's a really unique, and I think it's a really dangerous game for Lane Kiffin because his team is really heading in the wrong direction. I think Hugh Freeze needs to win this game. I think if he does, he's going to get on some radar screens very quickly. And until now, I think he's been unable to get in any job hunches. I think especially in the SEC, I know there's not a written code in the SEC, don't hire Hugh Freeze, but I strongly believe there's an unwritten code.
Paul Feinbaum is with us talking college football. So Paul, excuse me. I was wondering what your thoughts are right now as we sit here, and there's still a long way to go, but just how powerful is Georgia? Every time I think that, okay, they're going to have an off week, maybe they'll struggle and somebody's going to give them a shot, they just go out and impress. So I know there's still some huge chapters left to be written here, but are we talking about, you know, a team that we're going to be talking about for a long time when it's all said and done?
We could be, certainly defensively. I mean, I worry a little bit about the offense if they get in the shootout, but yeah, I think in 2 weeks we'll have a better feel for that. I think JT Daniels clearly is going to get in the game Saturday against Missouri. He'll play a little bit against Tennessee. Tennessee may be an interesting game because Tennessee can score. But ultimately, I think this team is so solid. And quite frankly, you know, they have a game to give. So if they have that bad game against Alabama, they're not going to be hurt that badly. I think the good news is that they have time to figure it out.
Give me your thoughts. This is an interesting one to me. It's Wake Forest. When a team like Wake Forest, I guess, you know, we had this conversation years ago when Northwestern under Gary Barnett had a couple of really special seasons here. But Wake Forest keeps inching along, keeps getting these wins. And you're sitting there, if you're Vanderbilt, probably going, hey, all right. Even Clark Lee spent some time at Wake Forest, so I'd be taking some notes there. But what are your thoughts on the Deacons this season and what this will mean for them?
I think it's an indication, especially to schools like Vanderbilt, that it can be done. There's not that much difference between Wake Forest and Vanderbilt. They're both, you know, extremely strong academic schools. Maybe it's slightly easier at Wake Forest than Vanderbilt, but it's not significantly easy. So I think it's a real case and study for Vanderbilt to, you know, quit making excuses. I'm not saying that specifically, but you know, in time, this program needs to get better and compete. It can be done.
Paul, I want to go back real quick as we wrap this up. Would you take this Georgia defense or the LSU offense a couple of years ago that won the national championship? One or the other. You can't have both. That would be the greatest team ever assembled. Which one would you take?
I would take the Georgia defense because as good as that LSU offense was, Alabama was in that game in Tuscaloosa and had a shot. A really good shot, and they were playing with a banged up Tua Tagovailoa, so that team could have been beaten. I'm still not convinced you can score on Georgia. Remember, Florida scored at the end of the game; it was a garbage touchdown. So I'm really interested in next week with Tennessee and Alabama, but I'm going defense right now as counter intuitive as that sounds in today's world of high flying offenses.
Yeah, interesting. Hey, thanks for the visit, as always. Have a great rest of your day and a great week. Thanks.
Guys, a pleasure. See you next week.
Paul Feinbaum brought to you by MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. We'll come back. Some good stuff in there. On the other side, the Predators also have some news you can use. We'll tell you about that, too, as you listen to the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
All right, everybody, let me tell you about Loan Pronto. I'm over here in Edmonton. I don't know about the home values up here. I know it's cold, and I know the Predators are playing against the Edmonton Oilers tonight, but I know the home values back home in our listening area are skyrocketing, and that means right now is a great time to take some of that cash out of your home's equity if you need it. You hear me talking about Loan Pronto all the time. They can fast-track you, that home refi, and get you a check for 50, 60, 70 grand. And you know, at this time of the year, you're starting to get your finances in order. It's the year end. The holidays are coming up. You can get cash out now and use it to your advantage, whether it be paying off some high interest credit cards. Imagine being credit card debt free for the new year. That sounds pretty good. Or maybe you want to consolidate other loans, pay for holiday expenses, get your finances in great shape for 2022. It may be something that you want to do to turn around and get yourself a new kitchen or bath. Reinvest in your home. Make it even more valuable. Listen, your home's value is way up, and you can get a new mortgage rate with an APR in the twos with Loan Pronto. So what you've got to do is call Loan Pronto now. Put that equity in your home to work towards financial freedom. Do it now. You could even skip your next two house payments. Here's how you do it. Call 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780. Or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781. subject to lender approval. Not all loans apply.
You can join us. We have partnered with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Light the Night. Light the Night brings light to the darkness of cancer through hope, research, and support for patients and families. Through this inspirational nationwide movement, we want to raise awareness and funding for groundbreaking research and treatment options to eliminate cancer. Nashville's Light the Night will be virtual and take place tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Learn more at lightthenight.org/TN. Special thanks to Paul Feinbaum for joining us every Wednesday at 10:15. Always good stuff from him. And, of course, we know every week he's brought to you by mtgrt.com, your live and local mortgage expert. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, our show is presented by Creation CBD. Creation CBD, products curated for life. You heard Joe Rexroad talk about the Packers and the Chiefs game on Sunday, given his, pick. The news has come out. Aaron Rodgers.
Might need to change that.
Just like Devontae Adams last week, who was out. Their top three targets out. Now their quarterback is out as Aaron Rodgers has tested positive for COVID-19. He will miss the game against the Chiefs. So the new era of Jordan Love begins. When he beats Kansas City, you can lose your job. And those Aaron Rodgers is probably not going to get it back because Jordan Love is the future.
Okay. I think a lot of people though will be really curious just to watch him play, just to see what the heck he looks like.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no doubt.
There'll be a lot of drama there.
Like if he bombs, like,
oh
can you
gosh.
Imagine?
Oh my. Yeah, what if he doesn't though? What if he does a Mike White? What if he goes for 405 and three touchdowns?
What if he's Matt Flynn?
Matt Flynn.
Well, we just talked about him, so
maybe. Yeah, I guess if you're going to use the Packers reference,
right,
a guy
yeah,
who
I mean,
yeah.
That got Matt Flynn a lot of money.
I mean, if he didn't, if he wasn't wearing a ski mask on Halloween, then I don't know what Matt Flynn was doing because that guy robbed some teams. He made a lot of money for about five games. I can think of two quarterbacks. I can't think of two better examples than Scott Mitchell and Matt Flynn, who had like a five game window and they made millions off of it.
Parlayed it into a contract.
Yeah.
And
a starting gig, which Matt Flynn really didn't because he then went to Seattle and everybody thought he was going to be the guy in Seattle and they drafted Russell Wilson and Russell Wilson beat him out. I don't think Matt Flynn ever started again, did he?
I don't think so.
Yeah. So it looks like Aaron Rodgers is out. So yesterday when we had Mitch Light on, in the final hour, I said, okay, Georgia 1, Alabama 2, the first rankings come out tonight. Who do you got 3 and 4? And he's like, well, wait a minute. That's not my order. I've got Alabama 4. And I was like, what? And he's like, Michigan State 2, Cincinnati 3, Alabama 4. And I said, Mitch, I love you, man, but you're out of your mind. Like, give me a break. There's no way. And I think they got it right. Like I said yesterday, I was like, Cincinnati is not in the top four. I've watched them. I'm sorry. They're not good enough. They're not a top four team in the league. I mean, they've played two garbage teams the last 2 weeks. Two teams that are combined record of 3-13, and they've barely won. And they've been behind in those games. So they're not a top four team. I think they got that part right. The only thing that really surprised me, I didn't have any issues with Oregon being in there. They've got the best road win of anybody in the country. Although I'm not going to take away Cincinnati's road win in Notre Dame, but that's it to their resume, and they don't play anybody the rest of the way. The only chance they had was SMU, and SMU lost to Houston on Saturday. So I didn't have any issue with it. I was a little surprised that Oklahoma was, what, 8?
Yeah.
A little surprised by that.
I think the committee, this is where it's always interesting to look at how the committee thinks as opposed to just the voters in the AP top 25. I think the committee looks at, even though Oklahoma's 9-0, it's not a clean 9-0. Like they were very close on some games and should have lost some games. Obviously have had quarterback issues, made the switch. So I'm not that surprised. Maybe they're a little lower than I thought. You could have made the argument they'd be ahead of Michigan since Michigan just lost. But, yeah, I don't have an issue with it either. I mean, Oregon, you know, has a really, really good win. I ultimately don't think they make it in the long run. Ohio State You know, Michigan State still have to play.
Probably.
But
let it play out. Yeah, you know, for this week, that's fine.
Yeah, let it play out. And so I don't have an issue with it. And the second thing is the Atlanta Braves are world champions. So just want to throw that in there.
Well, I say
Will
this every
Smith
year.
Will Smith doesn't
have
an ERA, by the way.
He doesn't. Good he had a stranglehold on him because that's his walkout song. So it was good.
I say this every year, so I feel obligated. But, you know, that committee, they could have done virtually anything last night for the first one. And nobody will remember in about four things. They could have put Wake Forest number one. They could have put, you know, Mississippi State in there.
They'd be getting crushed.
But honestly,
if they did.
Most of this is going to work itself out over the next few weeks. So I think even if you're Cincinnati, it's not time to panic. Just keep winning your games.
I disagree.
And
though.
I think
Cincinnati,
if you put an undefeated
games,
season in there,
that's not true though. Cincinnati doesn't have games that can help them.
This
They've is
got
panic.
To put them in.
Like they needed to be in there.
Why do
to
they
survive?
Why do
they
got
have
to put them in?
Yeah. Why do they have to put them in?
I think there will be a lot of pressure to put them in if they're perfect.
Why?
Why?
Pressure for what?
I mean,
just the pressure.
I get that they're
because
undefeated.
If they're not, well, it's pretty obvious why the pressure is, because you're basically telling every team that's not in the Power Five that they can't make it, even with a perfect season. And I just think there'll be a lot of pressure. I know there'll be a lot of pressure coming out of Cincinnati.
What if they
start
winning
really
games
every league?
Didn't look like pressure last night because they had them sixth. So it doesn't look like there's pressure on the committee at
well,
all.
Well, that's what I. That's what. What did I just say? It doesn't matter where they are right now.
It actually does.
Just keep winning. No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean anything. Just keep winning. Be undefeated for the last one, and I think there'll be a lot of pressure to put them in.
If they dominate, like it's more than just being undefeated. I mean, they need to decisively beat Tulsa, USF, SMU, and ECU because they didn't decisively beat Navy, and.
Tulane.
I mean, they've.
I don't think anybody will really remember that. No, nobody's perfect. Everybody slides by.
There
you just got
style
done saying
points,
how Oklahoma. Okay, you just got done saying how Oklahoma didn't have style points, but if they're undefeated at the end, they'll be in.
No,
I don't think they will.
Oklahoma.
That's the beauty of these rankings. I mean, this is what the thing that I love about the playoff is. Back in the old BCS days, you basically had to go undefeated. But they acknowledge strength of schedule here, and even though you have a loss, you know, they may look and say that a one-loss Oregon team had a tougher schedule, and that's more meaningful than an undefeated Cincinnati team that didn't play anybody. I mean,
they won at Notre Dame. Notre Dame still only has the one loss, so that's a key thing too. Is Notre Dame, if they keep winning. That loss, that win is going to continue to look better and better. They won
Oklahoma
at Notre Dame. That's a good
plays
win.
At Baylor, home against Iowa State, and at Oklahoma State. That can help you a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah.
A
so let's see
lot.
If they win all those games.
But not beating East Carolina and Tulsa and Cuyahoga Community College.
Look, they
and
can't
Cincinnati
help the league
Wesleyan.
That in.
No, what? No, they can't. Okay. But it doesn't mean you should get a pass into the.
Yeah. They
the
won at Notre
playoffs.
Dame.
Like it's
they just, won at Notre Dame.
So one game, you're in the playoffs. Like, give me a break. No way.
Let me ask you this, Willie. If it comes down to the final rankings, Georgia runs the table. They beat Alabama in the SEC championship game. So we know Georgia's number one. Ohio State beats Michigan State. They win the Big Ten. They're in. Oregon runs it out. They win the Pac-12. Okay, you can make the argument to put them in. And it's down to Cincinnati that's undefeated and has their signature win is Notre Dame, and Alabama lose two, but one of them is in the SEC championship game to Georgia. Which one are you taking? You're saying Cincinnati?
Look, I would put Cincinnati in. That is how I would do it. I know a lot of people will disagree, but why would you even make them eligible to be in this thing if you can't have a perfect season and get in there?
You
They've
can have
been
a
winning
perfect
for
season
a long time
and win 66-3. That gets people's attention. Coming back to beat Navy and Tulane, which are two garbage teams, that's not impressive. Like, you don't get a pass just because
you
win.
You're picking on the two weakest teams that they play.
You're battling uphill because of your schedule.
They
so
beat
you better
Notre
look
Dame
darn
at Notre
good.
Dame.
You better
they beat
be a
Notre
model.
Dame at Notre Dame.
You
Did they look
be a
good
runway
when they beat
model.
Notre Dame?
Okay, one game. That's all you've got. One game of 12? That's it? So that's it. You're in. You win one game of 12,
look,
and the rest of it doesn't matter.
Cincinnati's been really good for a few years now.
Oh, and Alabama has it?
Obviously, Alabama.
I mean, if you're
going to
use the past, then Alabama, you're going to put Cincinnati in and over Alabama if you're going to use the past.
Alabama, we know about. I'm talking about the principle of allowing teams outside the Power Five to feel like they have a chance. If they don't put them in, then it's basically, let's just break off. I think there should be just a rule that says there's nobody outside the Power Five that's being considered.
If you're Cincinnati, you cannot schedule Murray State. Sorry. Not sorry. You can't, because you're already battling uphill. You cannot schedule Murray State, period. You have to find a way to get something else out there, because your schedule, your conference is not going to help you. You cannot schedule Murray State.
They scheduled Notre Dame, and they beat Notre Dame at Notre Dame.
Yes, but you can't schedule Murray State.
Now, all of what I'm saying is predicated on Notre Dame continuing to win games and not losing any more than maybe one more, because that's they have got to have that win as their ticket for an undefeated season. And I agree with you that they've got to continue to look impressive. They can't eke by.
Who's that?
Cincinnati.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, they have to.
They've already, I mean. That's
the last 2 weeks have not been kind to them.
I mean, I'm just going to be honest. You saying all this stuff tells me you have not watched them at all this year, because if you watch them, I have. They're not impressive. They're just not. Have you watched Cincinnati this year, or are you just going off?
I watched them beat Notre Dame.
So you haven't watched any of their other games, just Notre Dame?
I mean,
I have watched bits and pieces of other games. They look pretty good.
I would argue, Darren, that it's really the last 2 weeks. They throttled Temple, which
– Yeah, but I would say the last 2 weeks are pretty important. Like,
they are.
I'm not good.
I'm not saying that they aren't, but I'm saying really the last 2 weeks is what has hurt them, especially the Navy game.
Agreed.
But,
I mean
– The
Navy game was – awful.
You know, Indiana gave them a tough game, and at the time, you know, I think more people were looking at Indiana thinking, okay, maybe there's something there. So that was a game in which Cincinnati then, you know, won 38-24.
Weren't they favored by like 4 touchdowns over Navy?
Yes.
It was something really. It was like 28-29, maybe even 30. And they were behind.
And they laid an egg. I mean, They almost lost the game.
They almost lost.
But they won. They won, though.
Okay. They did. But
there's a lot of teams that were undefeated a couple weeks ago that are not undefeated. Yeah. We were talking about Kentucky a couple weeks ago. They lost to Mississippi State.
We're going to agree to disagree. You can tell me everything you got in the arsenal. I'm telling you, I've watched them. They're not a top 4 team in the country. They're just not. If you want to go by the past, then Alabama's in.
Then let's not have the charade that they're eligible to be in there.
No, that's
not true.
Let's
just not have the charade.
Well,
you can't be in there.
You have to do things differently than everybody else. You cannot schedule Murray State. You have to win games 55-7. Sorry, it's the conference that you're in. Now, that can change when they move, but right now we're talking about today. Today, it's much, much harder. It's going to get easier with the move. But today, you can't schedule Murray State, and you can't come back and beat Navy when you're a 4-touchdown favorite.
It's going to change when they move, and it's going to change when they expand. I mean, if they expand to 12, then this is a moot point. I mean, it just is going to be. But especially moving to the Big 12, that's going to help them.
It's going to help them a lot more than it is right now. Let's go to Mike on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up?
Hey, you guys just stole my thunder. I was just going to tell everybody to relax. It's week one. Nobody knows what's going to happen in 4 weeks, but I do agree. Cincinnati's got to play somebody better than, you know, St. Mary's Catholic School. You can't carry schedule down and then hope that Notre Dame carries you into the playoffs. And the Saint Rocket Ismail's Notre Dame. This isn't the Four Horsemen.
So you're saying Jerome Bettis was not in the game?
No, I don't think Bettis was there. Neither was the Rocket or the Missile or whatever he wants to call himself. But, you know, like your point is said, you know, Georgia beats Alabama. I can't see Alabama getting in with 2 losses to Georgia. Oregon, ain't no telling what happens out in the Pac-12 because it's after midnight and I go to bed. So.
No, that's true.
Everybody
that's
just calm down,
there,
relax. It's still early.
All right, Aaron Rodgers, thank you. R-E- R-E-L-A-X.
Relax.
Right. We got 4 weeks of this, so.
Yeah, get ready, Willie.
It's all about just keep winning the games. Just keep winning the games.
Well, it's not going
to happen.
A lot
of this will work itself out.
There's
going to
be losses. Look at the Big Ten. I mean, it's all going to – they're going to cannibalize each other. Right? It's
well, I'll give you another one. Wake Forest, if they were to keep winning, which I think somebody will catch them, even though the ACC, if there's ever a year where you might be able to pull it off, it might be the ACC this year because it's such a weak league. But if you just put together an undefeated season and you put it on the table, that's just a really intriguing thing to just have the committee say, this team was perfect with the teams that they played, and we can't put them in.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're but at least they're in a Power 5 conference.
Yeah, I mean
they're in the
that's
ACC.
Interesting.
So
they would need. I think they would need some help.
I've watched them.
Do you think
they
Cincinnati? What's the line in a Cincinnati versus Wake Forest neutral site game?
It's a good question.
Cincinnati Wake Forest neutral site.
I think it's going to be definitely a 3 points or less game for sure. Field goal or less. It's going to be a very close line.
I'd probably go Cincinnati by. I'll say 1.5.
I would say 2.5, 3 would be my.
2.5.
I think it would be
so.
2.5.
So
three.
Power conference versus non-power conference, and. I think we would all agree that a two-loss Alabama team would be a sizable favorite over both teams. But my point
yesterday is that Alabama would be a 14.5-point favorite over Cincinnati. I said that.
Sure,
yesterday.
Sure. But to me, that's not the point. You have to have some angle, otherwise that you could argue that even if Alabama lost three games, they would still be favored by the same amount of points against them. Alabama is just a powerful team, but you have to have some kind of modicum of who's most deserving of being in the tournament. What is the criteria? If it's just the four best teams that we think, then that's not, you know, the NCAA tournament. Why even play the NCAA basketball tournament? There's upsets, and you've got to allow teams to get in there that on the surface may not be on paper as good as others. There's got to be a pathway for a Cincinnati.
That conversation needs to, well, it is. It's called 12-team playoff. That's what it is.
Well,
or
yeah, that's a whole other discussion.
It's got to be more
I'm
than
with you
four.
On that. Yeah. Someday it will be.
My odds-making insider says Cincy would be -3.5.
Okay.
That's his vote.
Can you share who the odds-making insider is?
I have
Jason?
A feeling. I think you know
his name is Rick.
Yeah.
How did I
and
think
he's
of
a,
that?
And he's a Cincinnati fan, too.
He is, but he's been listening to this conversation and texting me and go, they're done. Like he agrees with us that the last 2 weeks have hurt.
Don't give up hope. Rick, don't give up hope. Ryan, don't give up hope. All you Cincinnati people, just keep winning. Just keep winning.
Bring up a really interesting point with Wake Forest, though.
I think Wake Forest is they're interesting because if you've watched their games, and I have, they're a fun watch.
They
score at will. They have no problem scoring.
And they have a I'm not going to call it a clear path. I mean, they got to take care of business. But, like, I would say they got Carolina this weekend, which they should win that. NC State could be tough. Then Clemson,
yeah.
Boston College. I mean, they run their table there and then win. You know, it looks like they would play Pitt in the ACC title game.
Which that's not going to help them.
Tough to be perfect. Throughout those
once
teams.
Again, you have to be if you're those teams. That's
yes,
what you,
you
know.
Do. Oh, okay, and I've
teams.
Said that from the start. But it's impressive to be it's hard to be perfect, regardless of the schedule. But I just admire teams that can do it. If you lose one, then you're out. Then sayonara, too bad, great season, but not in the playoff. But if you're perfect, then you deserve consideration within some reason. And Cincinnati's win over Notre Dame at Notre Dame gives you a lot of credibility. It's not a situation like Hawaii a few years ago that ran the table and didn't play anybody like that.
Yeah. They're at North Carolina, NC State at home, at Clemson, at Boston College. I mean, that's four games right there that there could easily be a stumble in there for sure.
Oh, no question.
Easily. But if they run the table,
you gotta
do with them? Yeah, I mean, what do you do with an undefeated Wake Forest team? I don't think they're going to run the table, but I've watched them, man. They're fun. They can score. Have they had a game this year where they scored 70? I'm not even kidding. Wasn't that the Army game? Didn't they score 70 against Army?
Yes, I think that's true. Oof. Was that them? Somebody scored 70
against Army. I think it was them.
Army.
I think it was Wake Forest. Willie, why don't you tell everybody about QC Kinetics?
Okay, if you've got chronic joint pain, and if you're not having success with the treatments you've been using, like steroids or something like that, and you're trying to avoid a surgery, there's a better way. There's a now available in our listening area, a level of treatment from the medical professionals at QC Kinetics that's a breakthrough treatment. So I'm talking about new kind of therapies, advanced all-natural regenerative treatments that not only just give you relief, but can also restore and repair damaged tissue. So you can have lasting relief. So this is an avenue maybe you haven't explored. So if you've got that joint pain due to arthritis or knee pain or hip pain, shoulder pain, don't just think that the old traditional ways of dealing with pain are the only ways. You can learn more about this by checking out the new biologic therapy solutions for QC Kinetics. Call for the free consultation. QC Kinetics, 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024. These remarkable new treatments increase mobility, decrease pain, and help restore tissue. Call now and learn more about these restorative, regenerative, and revolutionary alternatives. Don't wait. QC Kinetics, 615-249-4024.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.